So I know, actually, I'm curious, how many of you out here that are in the audience have grapevines at home? Okay, we've got two, three, four. I know Mr. Petrie does as well. I know that some of you may have grapevines in your yard and have grapes every year, but I bought one this year, and you can see a picture of it. This is on the right-hand side. This is my grapevine as how it came. The only difference is I took it out of the pot that it was in and put it in a larger pot. And to be honest, I thought that was all there was to it. You buy it in the store, you bring it home, you plug it in a bigger pot, you make sure it gets watered, and then you have grapes. Not knowing anything about it, I decided that maybe it would do me some good to do a little research. And that's actually what led to this sermon. Since I didn't know how to properly care for a grapevine, I researched a lot of websites that talk about how to, and what I discovered is that I had absolutely no clue how to take care of a grapevine. Some of the things that I read were from professional vineyards where they talk about how to take care of plants. But there was one particular website that I very much enjoyed. The man and his wife bought a house. Now, it wasn't a new house, but it was new to them. And it had a backyard that was overgrown with weeds and trees and brush and shrubs and all that. And his mind was, I'll get to the backyard someday. So he and his wife moved into this new home, and new home to them. And to his surprise, when he went to take care of the backyard, there was this massive shrub that was in the back, and so he pruned the shrub back, and in the middle of the shrub was a Concord grapevine. He had no idea it was even there. And there were grapes on it, and he was really excited. He thought, wow, I mean, I moved into a house, and I'm going to be able to enjoy grapes. So he pulled the grapes off from out of this vine, and they were moldy and full of disease and disgusting. And he didn't know why. So, like me, he decided that he would do a study to try and figure out how to take care of a grapevine. On his website, he said, I knew nothing about grapes, but I did know how to blog. So I thought that him talking, he said, I thought that what I would do is spend the time to document my learning process. And then he mentioned John chapter 15, because it talks about the vine and the vine dresser. And he mentioned some spiritual things that he learned as he was learning how to take care of this Concord grapevine in his backyard. So what I want to do today is I want to go through John chapter 15. Now, we've had a sermonette and an in accord, so we will do our best to keep this maybe a little bit shorter than normal. But I want to start out by just reading through John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. We read this every year at the Passover service. If you'll remember, we start in John 13 and we read sections of scripture through the rest of John. This is one of the lessons that Jesus Christ gave. It says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. That will be very, very important as we go through the rest of this sermon. He who abides in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch that is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it will be done for you. For by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, as I was reading through this, and I have this little tiny grapevine in my backyard, what is the ultimate goal of this little grapevine for me? I want grapes. I want fruit. I want to be able to make jam and jelly and all the other wonderful things, maybe even try and produce a bottle of wine out of it. I don't know. I've never done that before. But if you think about this comparison between a vine and what Jesus Christ and God the Father want, what I thought I would do is go to some professional vineyards and get their tips on vine dressing, and then to be able to compare that with what we read in John chapter 15. So if you've got a paper Bible and you've got one of those little black UDI things, mark it, because we're going to be coming back and forth to this for the rest of the sermon. We'll go verse by verse, and we're going to learn a lot from these eight verses in John chapter 15 about not only how to take care of a vine if you intend to grow one in your backyard, but also how God intends to produce fruit in us. And then it will culminate tomorrow in the AM service, where it won't be a part A and part B, but you'll see how this will influence tomorrow's sermon when we get into Pentecost. So let's start with verse 1, where Jesus Christ is talking, and he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Now, there are two absolutes that are stated here, and both of them are extremely important. The first one is that the vine already exists. Now, in my case, I had to go buy one from the store. I think I got it from Home Depot and took it home and planted it. But Jesus Christ is saying, not only does the vine already exist, but it's the right vine to be on. It's the true vine. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Jesus Christ is the true vine. We don't have to plant a new one. In fact, we don't plant one at all. Rather, we are grafted onto the vine, and we grow in the vine that is already there. If we try and plant our own vine or attach to another, we're not on the true vine. This vine is healthy, this vine that is Jesus Christ. He's in good soil. He's got good roots. He produces the stock that is necessary for the branches to be able to develop fruit. You want to be in the best possible stock that you can. A lot of fruit trees, if you've ever seen it, a lot of fruit trees, that the base of it is not the same as what's been grafted into it. They want the stock, the base where the roots and the trunk of the tree or of the vine, to be the best possible material that it can be. So Jesus Christ has established himself. And if you've ever seen a grapevine that is 1 year old versus 100 years old, by the time it gets to 100 years old, it may be 4, 5, 6. It might be 10 inches thick. It might look gnarly and nasty, but it is solid, and it will produce amazing fruit. So we'll see some of that as we go through. I actually took a picture off of my iPhone of the word true when it says that Jesus Christ is the true vine. If you look at what this says, there's a lot behind this. Think about it. The word true, that which has not only the name and resemblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name. He is the true vine. He is the one that you want to grow off of. If you want to grow into a spiritual giant, as it were, if you want to be in the kingdom of God, if you want to develop as much fruit as possible, you need to be in the true vine. It says the real nature corresponding to the name in every respect, corresponding to the idea signified by the name, the real, the true, the genuine. Rather than grow in a new vine, we attach or graft onto the true vine that will give us the best possible fruit. The second given here, which I had never really focused on before, is that Jesus Christ is the true vine, but the second part is just as important. Who takes care of the vine? The Father is the vine dresser. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that before. Have you ever thought about, have you done the job of trying to take care of fruit trees or anything in your backyard where you're the one that has that pair of snips in your hand and you go through and you prune and you make sure that everything is taken care of? The Father is the vine dresser. I'll show you a picture later on. Marlis and I did a feast in France where it was in the Alsace region, almost into Germany. And miles and miles and miles is nothing but vineyards. And you would see all of these workers out there, and they'd have their tool pouch on with various tools in, but almost to a person, they had their snips in their hand. And we're going to talk about how important that is as we go forward. There can be no better chance for a best crop than this. You've got Jesus Christ as the vine that we get grafted into, and you've got the Father as the one that is taking care of the vine as it grows. Why would you want to go anywhere else but there to be able to develop? Our blogger found something unusual. After he cut out all of the junk that was in his backyard and that was choking this vine, he made the assumption that the vine wasn't any good because it was producing bad grapes. But what he found out was that the vine was actually extremely healthy. It had a good root system. It was a good vine. It could produce good fruit. And yet the fruit that it was producing was diseased. And he couldn't figure out why. Why do you suppose, you don't have to answer this out loud, but think about it. Why do you suppose that a good vine would not produce good fruit? And the answer that he found out was no one was taking care of it. It was growing wild. It was growing on its own. A grapevine needs help. A grapevine isn't something that you just plant in the ground and let go, like I thought. It's something that needs constant care. And that is why he found out that his vine wasn't growing at first. After he figured that out and after he cut back and did the things that he was supposed to do, he had decades of producing amazing fruit from this vine that he thought he was just going to have to pull out and burn. The world around us is very similar to that. We are being, as a society, choked by the shrubbery that's growing up around us. And we'll give you some really good examples of that as we go through this. Since there was no one taking care of his vine, the result is it had mold and it had disease on it because it wasn't getting good sunlight, it wasn't getting proper nutrients, it wasn't being pruned when it should. Once he started to do that, he produced great fruit. So let's look at the next aspect in verse 2 of John chapter 15. This is something that I hadn't really thought of before until I read through this. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it might bear more fruit. If a branch isn't bearing fruit, it's completely removed. It's cut away. I've seen people do this before with fruit trees. You know, there may be one branch of a fruit tree that everybody else has got nice foliage on it, et cetera, but there's one branch off to the side and there's no leaves or anything. It's just causing problems, and so you would take a pair of cutters and snip that off. We'll read in a few verses what happens spiritually to a branch that isn't producing fruit and is lopped off. And spoiler alert, it's not good. So we'll see what happens to those branches in a while. But here's the part that I hadn't really thought about. If a branch does bear fruit, it still gets pruned. Now, to me, that's, as I was reading through this, that's counterintuitive. If the plant is growing and it's producing good leaves and it's producing good fruit, why would you want to prune it? You would think that to get the most fruit possible, you would want it to grow and to do as much as it could. But that isn't how a vine tree works or a vineyard works, and we'll show you that when we talk about what professional growers tell us. But spiritually, no matter how much fruit you may produce in life, you still get pruned, and that's not comfortable. Have you ever had, you're taking off in one direction and all of a sudden something happens in your life and it's just like, it's almost like snip, ouch, why'd you do that, God? And you have this conversation with God about why he's snipping off these little aspects of your life that you would prefer to go in. There's so much there. I visited a lot of websites from professional growers, and it's very interesting. Almost all of the sites, and I probably visited 10 or 12, they all had a list of how to properly care for a vineyard. And in every one of those websites, the number one point was the same on all websites. And the number one point was, be sure that you're pruning enough. Again, that didn't make any sense to me because I had never taken care of this before. And again, my thought was, you take it out of the small pot, you put it in a big pot, and you stand back and you watch it grow grapes. That's not the way to grow grapes. You have to make sure that you're constantly pruning. Proper pruning aids in the collection of sunlight. You think about grapes have grape leaves. The grape leaves produce photosynthesis that bring the sugars into the plant that help the plant develop. But if you've just got this mishmash of stuff, and especially if you've got shrubs growing around it, it doesn't get good light. So in order for a grapevine to grow the best possible grapes, you have to have the leaves, as many leaves as possible, pointing at the sun. And if you've got leaf over leaf over leaf over leaf, then the ones that are getting the sunlight are in front, but the ones buried in the back aren't. And that can cause problems. If you're pruning correctly, you're cutting out disease. There can be a lot of disease that occurs in grapevines. I actually was looking at mine just the other day. I didn't tell Marlis this, but I went out and I was looking at it to take some pictures to put in this, and I'll show you a picture in a little while of what it looks like now from yesterday. But I noticed that one of the branches had a bunch of aphids on it. None of the other branches did, but one of them. So guess what happened to that branch? Right? I didn't want the aphids crawling all over everything else. I didn't want to necessarily spray it with some harsh chemicals. It was growing well enough that the easiest thing to do, snip, and just take care of that. It also encourages growth in the direction that pleases the vine dresser. I'm going to show you some pictures in a little while of professional vine dressers and what their plants look like. They know, because they've been doing this, in some cases it's been passed down from generation to generation, they know the best way for each particular varietal of plant to be harvested or to be maintained. So they put guide wires up, and they want the plant to grow along the guide wires because they can take care of it and they can maintain it. So to prune it correctly will encourage growth in the direction that the vine dresser wants. Who more than the father would know the direction that he wants us to go in our lives? And also it concentrates the vine's energy into the fruit. Again, the idea is not to have a vine that has a bunch of leaves. It is to have a vine that has a bunch of grapes. So you want to prune it in such a way that it will produce the best fruit possible. I want to look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 for a moment. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God." I'd like us to consider this in our relationship with the Father. What direction does he want us to grow? We're not to be conformed to this world. Think of the vine that the man had in his backyard that was growing in a bunch of shrubbery. He doesn't want us to grow the way this world would have us grow. He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we can find out what he wants. What is the acceptable will of God? What is the acceptable will of the vine dresser? Where does he want us to grow? What direction does he want us to grow? If we do that, then he obviously knows what is best. To be conformed to this society would produce a vine that is mixed with shrubs and growing in any direction. And as our blogger found out, that wild vine did produce grapes, but they were inedible. They weren't good fruit. I want to show you this graphic here. Now, this, for those of you that have grapevines, yours may not look like this. There are different varietals of grapes. But this is a standard of the way grapevines are produced. Marlis and I saw this when we were in France. From the ground up to around 27 inches, they run a guide wire out. And then they go up to around 50-something inches, and they put another guide wire. Now, the idea behind this is, you remember when it said, "I am the vine, you are the branches"? This is the vine, and the branches go out. So this represents Jesus Christ, and this represents, there's Marlis, and there's me, and there's Pat, and there's Carrie, and there's Wayne, and there's Elsie. We are the branches that are growing off on the vine. So the idea is, here's how we in our personal lives grow. This is the guide wire. This maybe is God's truth, God's doctrine. Here's where he wants us to grow. But look at all this junk in the middle here. I don't know if you're like me. I told this story before. When I was in college, I went to my professor and said what the seven thunders said. I was so excited because I was a prophecy nut. Prophecy's fun to study, but prophecy doesn't connect you to the trunk of the tree. The doctrines of the church connect you to the trunk of the tree. And so I went to my teacher and said, "I figured out what the seven thunders said." And he read to me in Revelation where it says, "You can't know what the seven thunders said." And you know what that was like to me? Snip. And that hurt. I remember going home smarting, saying, "How dare he do that?" But he was right. That was not a direction that I needed to go in. And so God does that. So before pruning, you see it starting to grow wild. But after pruning, what you see is the growth of the branches is along the guide wires that the vine dresser wants. God puts us in the guide wires where he wants. He wants us to stay within the framework of his teaching and his training. And if we go off on a tangent, snip, and he takes care of that, and he makes sure that he brings us back. We live in a life that is absolutely filled with distractions. Life is exciting. If the picture on the left is allowed to grow by itself, there will be too much clutter. You might have grapes, but they'll be small and diseased. The guide wires encourage growth on a predetermined path. Look in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. It says, obey those who have rule over you. Now, as I read this, I want you to think of our Father being the vine dresser. Obey those that have rule over you and be submissive. Are you a submissive vine to the vine dresser? For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. Do you give the Father joy as he works in his vineyard? As he sees something, he sees an aspect of your life that he doesn't want and he snips it off. Is he joyful to be able to do that? Think of a vine dresser. He's looking at the vine and he's saying, there's a growth out here, and if I allow that to grow, it's going to ultimately cause a problem with the rest of it. So snip, he wants to take that off. That is pleasurable to him, to take off a piece of this branch that is growing in a direction that he doesn't want to go. Do we allow him to be peaceful? Or does he snip something off and then we just grow it right back? You know, snip, I don't want you going in that direction. I want to go in that direction, and you keep going. You're not making a joyful vine dresser. As he helps us through trials, through tests, through tribulation, recognize what he's doing. He's trying to get us to grow in a certain direction on a certain path, and that path will produce the best possible fruit ultimately. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. If a vine is absolutely stubborn and rebellious, I read in several websites something that I don't think God does, but at some point in time, if there's a vine and branches that are not doing what it wants, he just pulls it up and puts a new one in. We obviously don't want that in our lives. We obey our vine dresser. He watches out for our souls. He knows the direction that we're supposed to go. Here is a current picture. I took this just yesterday of my vine. You'll see it looks a little different than the first one. It is growing almost so fast that I go out daily. But instead of just having one center pole, I put three poles, and there are three main, I call them vines. They're actually branches. We'll probably have to prune that out one of these days. But as you can see, I've got my guide wires, as it were, and I've started to put the ones that are going out good. And then a lot of the stuff in the middle, it's cluttered, and I haven't really pruned that out yet. And you'll see why in just a moment. When you see a picture of a vine that is hundreds of years old, it may be 5-6 inches at the base, and there's almost no leaves on it whatsoever because of the aggressive pruning that they do. A vine dresser would look at mine and say, you've got too much growth on there. You're not going to produce the best grapes. But again, there's a reason for that, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Here's another picture of a vine and branches. So even after the vine is established, and even after the branches are established, it just continues to grow wild. And that's just how plants work. They just continue to grow. So if you've got a good vine and good branches, you're still going to have these shoots that go up. Now, what would happen if you would let this grow just like this? Each one of these little modules that you see are going to produce a cluster of grapes. And you're going to have a grape cluster over a grape cluster over a grape cluster over a grape cluster, not getting light, all mashed together, and you're going to get disease in there. Where if you keep cutting them down to just a few of these spurs, then what you end up having is clusters that start above and grow and hang down, and you keep them spaced to where you've got the best possible fruit, best possible light, producing as much as you can. That's how you keep a vine growing and staying healthy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. This is one that I thought of, and this is true. Anytime God works with us, he says, no chastening, and I put pruning in there. It's really the same thing. No pruning seems to be joyful at the time, but painful. If I decide in my mind that I have a direction that I want to go, and I head off in that direction, and God decides that that's not the direction that I want to go, and he prunes or he chastens me, that can be uncomfortable. But there's a reason for it. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, there's two things in there. If we let him take care of us, if we let him prune us, it produces peaceable fruit, good fruit. Have you ever had fruit that's not peaceable? We've had trees in the past, a persimmon tree. I didn't know anything about a persimmon. Looked ripe. I thought, I'll just take a bite out of this. Wow, what a mistake. There are some fruit that is not peaceable, that is not happy fruit. But you want grapes, when you see a grape and you take a bite of that, you want it to be sweet. You don't want it to be sour. If you let him prune you, it will produce peaceable fruit. But notice what it also says. Peaceable fruit are there for those who allow themselves to be trained by it. The vine dresser knows the best way a vine should grow. A vine dresser, God the Father, knows the best direction for you and your life. And he will teach you and he will train you if you'll let him prune you. And it may not feel good at the time. The trials that we go through, they're there for a reason. They help teach us and they help train us. Make sure I don't want to get ahead of myself here. So even though pruning can be painful, it's part of the training process. Now, one website that I went to talked about a guy who, he was in his 20s, and he wanted to take over a business that was already established on vine dressing, but he didn't know anything about it. And he thought, well, I need to get more trained. I'm young. I'm fresh out of college. So he moved over to Italy and worked in a vineyard. So he was a vine dresser for the owner. And there were other men there that were working in the fields that had been there virtually their whole lives. And he was irritated by all of these guys because they kept coming up to him and saying, you're not pruning aggressively enough. You're not pruning aggressively enough. And he writes on his blog, he says, inexperienced vine dressers often fail to prune aggressively enough. They are convinced that they're sparing the vine. You remember how spare the rod, spoil the child? They're convinced that they're sparing the vine, but they end up damaging the fruit. You know, you look at all these beautiful leaves that are growing and you think, wow, this is so pretty. I want to just let this grow. And what you're doing by allowing all that clutter, it's going to damage the fruit. So you continuously and aggressively prune to get it to where only the parts of the branches that you as the vine dresser want to develop fruit, that's the only thing that remains. Everything else gets taken away. And you look at that vine and you say, I want a cluster to grow here, and a cluster to grow here, and a cluster to grow here, and everything else gets pruned away. It seems drastic, and yet what it does is it ends up producing the best possible fruit. Show you a picture of a strong, mature vine here. And I want you to notice how this has been taken care of. But let's read John 15, verses 4 and 5 first. It says, abide in me, this is Jesus Christ talking, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, that center stalk. You are the branches. You're what's growing out that the fruit is eventually going to hang off of. If you abide in me, if you stay connected to the vine, to the trunk of the tree, if you stay connected to the trunk of the tree, he who abides in me and I in him, you will bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now look at this really. This is a mature branch. So the vine is down here, and this is one of the branches. Now, from where you're sitting, you probably can't see it. But if you look at this, this has been lopped off. This has been lopped off. This has been lopped off. This is a whole branch that got lopped off. Why are they doing that? Because they want the grapes to grow in a way where they don't get too crowded together. So the vine dresser on this vine is on this branch is looking out and saying, it's too much clutter here, snip. Too much clutter here, snip. This one's not as healthy as it needs to be, snip. And the vine dresser will go through and make sure that the best possible outcome is here. But if you look at a vine up close, it looks pretty gnarly. There's a whole lot of cropping that happens, but it's producing the best possible fruit. Now, for someone that would look at this, they would say, well, that's ugly. That's just been snipped at so much. It's been pruned so much. And yet the fruit that it's producing is what you want. And again, that's the goal. The goal is not to have this beautiful leaves, but to have beautiful fruit. Let's look at something that 1 John 2, verse 24 says. This is similar to when Jesus Christ in John 15 is talking about abide in me and I in you. John, 1 John 2, verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. So you were grafted, as God called you, you were grafted onto the vine. You need to stay with the vine. You need to stay grafted in to that true vine. And if you do that, you will not only abide with the Father, with the Son, but it says you will also abide with the Father, with the vine dresser. And he will take care of you, and he will help you to grow. You remember the sermons that I've done in the past about that, you know, setting that little pea or that little piece of paper on the desk, and that's your 80, 90, 100 years that you live in this life, and yet you've got eternity. He is pruning you right now so that you can live for the rest of eternity in absolute happiness. We should allow him to do that. You look at this picture, and you see a branch that has been severely pruned and yet is producing amazing fruit. That's the idea behind a grapevine that is well taken care of. John chapter 15, back in John chapter 15, verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they're burned. You know, being a severed branch from the vine can actually happen in two ways. One, you can sever yourself. I don't know if you've ever seen the cartoon where a man is pruning a tree and he's sitting out on the limb and he's sawing the limb that he's on so that he's going to fall along with the limb that gets. You can take yourself off the vine. We saw that in spades in 1995, didn't we? That people got to the place where they said, you know what, I'm out. I'm done. I'm not going to be in here anymore. Anytime that I do baptismal counseling with people, and anyone that's had baptismal counseling with me, you know I say this. What would you do if your parents left? What would you do if your family left? It's one of those things where you have to recognize that people sometimes sever themselves from the true vine. But it also says earlier that if you are not producing good fruit, if you're not producing any fruit at all, you will be severed. And what happens to those things that are severed? When I first looked at this, I saw this as poetic. We know that there's a lake of fire coming, and so when Jesus was talking about, if my Father prunes you off the true vine, we throw you into the fire, the lake of fire, and that's valid. But what I didn't realize is that is an actual event. So I want to read a little bit about this. There's so much more. I just got a couple of sentences on this. This is from a website out in Napa Valley in California. Here's what they say. The tradition that originated in France, and I think it originated a whole lot earlier than that, is called the burning of the vines. You notice that's in all caps. This is an event that happens in vineyards every year. Marks the end of the winter pruning and the start of bud burst. Now, I want to stop there and explain what it is talking about. You don't prune a plant when it's full of leaves because it's hard to see. After the season is done, after the grapes are done, after the leaves have started to fall off and you basically see the branches, now you're clear to see. And the vine dresser is thinking ahead. Bud burst in the spring when things start happening, what's the best possible way for this to be done? And so it starts to look at the branches that are there that are kind of bare and they're waiting. And they look and say, you know what, this branch, I see some disease in this. I didn't see it before because it was full of leaves, but I see it now. Snip. These two are going to be too close together. Snip. And he goes through and he does this at the end of the season when the pruning takes place. So after the pruning is done and before bud burst, they do this. Again, reading on, the tradition involves collecting grapevine cuttings and then burning them. Then notice why. To ensure that any disease from the dead cuttings can't be spread to the naked vine. I'll explain why they use the word naked in a minute. A symbolism of death and rebirth by fire. So if there's any disease, if there's any bad branches that haven't produced the proper fruit, it's burned so that it can't affect the growth that is still there. What happens when you prune something? There is an open wound there. Have you ever seen someone that did tree trimming, and they trimmed off a really big section of tree, and they would sometimes take this gray paint and paint over it to try and protect that scar? You're not going to do that with every little branch that you cut off on a vine. So at the time you're doing pruning, you also are opening up the vine to disease and to outside interferences. So what does God do as he's pruning us? He takes the bad stuff, or the stuff that he's taken away from us, and he takes it over and burns it to make sure that it doesn't affect the vine anymore. The burning of the vines. In fact, most of the websites in Napa Valley will have that as a party. They'll announce it on their website. The burning of the vines will be, you know, November 25th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and people will come out dressed in dresses and fine hats, and they'll have picnic lunches, and they'll drink wine, and they'll watch the burning of the vines, and it's a big event, something that I didn't know even happened. So yes, I think this also refers to bad things being thrown in the lake of fire, but it also shows that a loving vine dresser wants to make sure that as he's pruning his precious vine and his precious branches, that he doesn't want it to get disease, and he takes care of his vine. This is a picture from France. Marlis and I took this picture. Everywhere you look, there are just miles and miles and miles of these vineyards. John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. For by this my Father is glorified, for by this the vine dresser is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. I look at this field like I look at the church. So all of these vines that are growing up, a lot of them come from the same rootstock. And so they would take a vine and they would make a cutting and they would grow it. And all of these vines that are maybe 10 feet apart are all a part of that same rootstock. But up here are all of these vines, again, all of us. And as you go all the way up this row, you could just imagine the vine dresser happily going through and pruning and making sure that it's the best possible environment for it to grow in. All of these are planted in the same direction so that it gets the maximum amount of sun. You don't see one field growing this way and another field growing this way. They're smart enough to know the sun comes up there and it goes down there, so I set my grapes so that it's going to get the maximum amount of sunlight. And this is stunning to be able to see this. It is absolutely beautiful when you look at what it is that these guys have done. Again, when I see this, I don't see me. I see all of us. I see the church. We're all going the same direction. We're all being taken care of by the same vine dresser. And the fruit that is going to be produced for the kingdom of God is exceptional. You will be a fine wine one of these days. Isn't that nice? I wanted to show this. This is just one example of a website that talks about how to properly care for vines. And I want to go through each one of these and make a spiritual analogy to it. As you read through this list, think about our Father as the vine dresser. So again, the number one point, as I said, in all websites, be sure that you're pruning enough. I'll turn that on its ear. Make sure that you allow God to prune you enough that he wants. He knows is the best thing. Why do you do this? Again, most inexperienced growers don't prune enough. It takes aggressive work. But God knows the end result that he has in mind for each of us. And there are some that have to be pruned more than others, because some of you are more stubborn than others. And I will put myself at the top of that list. So you may look at that and say, ouch, why is he doing? Why doesn't he do that to her? She doesn't need it like you do. Internalize that. Oh man, he's done that again. What am I fighting against him? Let him take care of us. Let him do the work, and let him do it with joy. Ultimately, what he's trying to produce in you is the best possible fruit. Let him do the pruning. Second one says, give first-year grapevines a chance to develop strong root systems. What does that mean? You don't aggressively prune when someone is new in the faith. And that's true. You ever seen someone, I don't know, a lot of you grew up in the church, so you don't see this, but I was nine, no, that's not true, I was seven when I came into the church with Mom, and I can remember we'd go to services, and she would hear something, and she'd come home, and she'd scratch her head and say, what's this Feast of Tabernacles? And instead of someone saying, you got to go to the Feast of Tabernacles this year because you know, instead of being that aggressive, I remember the minister said, you didn't know about this before? Let's not make a big deal out of this. We save second tithe back to be able to do this. You'll be able to go next year. And instead of aggressively pruning Mom, just let her take root. Let her get this underneath her. And I always appreciated the minister that she had when she first entered the faith, because he was gentle, he was kind. And you don't prune aggressively in the first year. You let the roots get really taken. Think about grafting into an existing vine. You don't graft something and then immediately start pruning it away. You let it get established to where that graft gets really anchored into the vine, and then you can properly prune it. The third point here is use good positioning or training system. Again, think about this from God's perspective. God puts the guide wires that he wants our branches to grow on. He puts them where he wants them to get the most sunlight, to get the best chance to grow. He knows what basic doctrines, what things we need to learn to be the best possible fruit. He knows where the energy resides. He knows where the sun is. He knows where the water is. His spirit is at work in our lives, and he knows what amount to give us to be able to produce fruit. And by the way, the sermon tomorrow will be about how the Holy Spirit produces fruit. Pruning doesn't produce fruit. Pruning produces the best environment for fruit to grow. That's the sermon tomorrow. Notice at the bottom of the page here, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. This is something that I think is different than point number 4. Look at point number 4. It says, begin with one-year-old nursery stock. Now, that probably doesn't make any sense to you, but if I read further on this, this is what they said. If you've got a vine or you've got branches that aren't producing right after the first year, just throw them away. Just cut them out and throw them away. I don't believe that God does that with us. This is the one that I think is different. I think that God doesn't throw us away after the first year of non-productivity. I think he keeps working with us. 2 Peter 3:9 is one of my comfort scriptures, and I am so glad that this is in the Bible. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering. You know, this crazy vine, I snip and it tries to regrow it, and I snip and it tries to regrow it, and I snip and it goes off in another direction. He is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He will continue to work with us, and he won't get, if after 1 year we're not doing what he wants, he doesn't throw us into the fire. He continually works with us. He's patient, and I am so thankful that he is. And then point 5. Know your, this is to the vine dresser. Know your soil, but also know your grapevine variety. There are different varietals of grape. The picture that I showed you of the vine with the branches going off on guide wires, that's more like Concord grapes. There are other types of vines that grow different. The vine will grow up, and then the shoots or the branches will come out like the ribs of an umbrella, and then the fruit will hang off the end. Different varietals of fruit need to be trained or pruned differently. That's true for all of us. Not all of us are Concord grapes that need to be handled a certain way. Some of us are muscadine grapes, and some of us are different types of grapes. God has a lot of personalities that he grafts into his vine, and he knows what's best for us. That's why I say he may prune you differently than the person sitting next to you, because maybe the person sitting next to you is a different varietal of grape and needs to be pruned differently. Let him do his job. Know your soil, that know the vine, that's Jesus Christ, which he does, but also know the grapes that you have, the branches that you have grafted into the vine, and how to properly take care of it. Just a few points. I wanted to leave you with a few scriptures related to this as we start to draw this to a close. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to start in verse 11. And I want us to think about this from the perspective of a vine dresser's toolbox. So think of God the Father, who is out working on his vines. And if you were to think of a vine dresser right now, he's going to have a pouch of tools. That pouch of tools is going to be a pair of snips. It's going to be a saw if the branch is too much for the snips. He's going to have these little ties. If you've ever watched a vine dresser work, when the branches go out, they tie them on to make sure that they're growing in the direction that he wants. He's going to have various tools with him. How does the Father take care of us? What tools does he use? Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. For he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. God has provided tools for the church to be able to grow. Why? Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the vine that's growing. This body of believers that Jesus Christ has. Why? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, telios, meaning mature, till we mature to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Who is Christ? He's the vine. He has grafted us into a well-defined vine, and he wants for us to be able to develop into a mature plant that is producing the best possible fruit. But he doesn't just have one tool. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. It's one of the reasons why I tie down the branches to the guide wires. If we have we had a really strong rain last night, and I went out this morning hoping that it didn't get blown away or blown apart. It all was still there. He knows how to take care of that so that we aren't tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. In other words, if you allow your vine to grow into a shrub, you're going to end up being enveloped by it and you're going to get diseased. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, who is the vine, the true vine, even Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body to the edifying of itself in love. We're all different types or varietals of grapes. And I think, from my perspective, the vine dresser says, I want some Concord grapes, and I want some muscadines, and I want some this, and I want some that, because all of them are going to be a part of my kingdom. They're all going to help in the millennium. The various types of people that will be resurrected in the second resurrection are going to come up with certain things, and I want people to be able to handle all of that. So he goes out and he picks who he wants to graft into the vine, and all of us supply a part of that body. We're all different. Some of us take a different type of work or a different type of pruning, but that's fine. So look at this again from the perspective of what we have in front of us. We have the ministry, which you see here, and I hope that we're all thankful for the ministry, but we also have a lot of other things. Life, Hope, and Truth. The media material that is available now is second to none for what the church has had in the past. If you read something, if you study something, let's say that you're reading about, you get the new Discern magazine and you read and the pops up and it talks about hope or faith or repentance or forgiveness. Go to Life, Hope, and Truth, go to the search engine, forgiveness, and you'll get 10, 15 articles on it that will help supplement what you're doing. Almost like you have your garden hose, and instead of watering, you attach a thing that's got a vegetable grower, fertilizer or whatever. It's like you're taking your study and you're adding to it. You're fertilizing what you're doing with all of the media stuff. The festivals that we go to, the Sabbath services, the fellowship, these are all tools in the vine dresser's toolkit that helps us to grow. It helps us to not be tossed to and fro if we are a sturdy branch connected to a solid trunk. A couple of other scriptures. Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If I could do a little literary license and add to the front of that, if you allow God to prune you, and you have the Spirit of God to grow fruit, this is the type of fruit that you're going to grow. And that's what we want. Against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ have been crucified with the flesh, with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. This is the sermon that I'll give tomorrow morning on how, after pruning, how the Holy Spirit helps us to grow. Colossians 1, verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what we want in our lives. We want to bring forth good fruit, and we do this by continuing to learn and to grow. When God does some pruning, ask him why. Why did you take that away from me? And what value is that? There's a value to it. And finally, last scripture, James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. And this maybe is the hardest part of it all. It says that we have to be patient, not only with the vine, but with the vine dresser. It says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. So let's put this again in perspective of today's sermon. See how the vine dresser waits for the precious fruit of the earth. He has done the pruning. He has snipped. He has caused it to grow in the direction that he wants. He has put the guide wires up, and he is waiting patiently for it. And we are being told that we need to be patient as God works with us. Waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rains. You also be patient, just as the vine dresser is. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. One of these days, it's all going to be revealed, and you're going to understand why he grew you the direction that he did. Something as simple as a grapevine can teach us valuable lessons about what God the Father and what Jesus Christ is doing. Their willingness to graft us into the true vine is an absolute blessing. Not something that we deserved, but he looked out and said, here are the people that I want to call at this time for this reason. Our desire, their desire to prune us is to their specifications, not ours. We have to allow him to take care of us. Their knowledge of our varietal fruit is necessary to grow the best fruit possible. If we give them full control, we can be assured that we will not only be in the kingdom of God, but produce the best fruit we can produce. As verse 1 says of John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Let's let him do his work.